Welcome to another vital message from Pastor Ron Hemmons, Senior Pastor of Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
You know, if you came here without hope, I'm hoping that you leave here with hope. Because sometimes the circumstances can really seem to cloud and confuse our minds, our hearts, and leave us at times without hope. We talked about that last week. Y'all remember? We talked about the story of these two men who were walking on the road to Emmaus. Now, if you have not read this or you're not familiar with it, you can read about it in Luke chapter 24. As well as the Gospels share more light in different places on this story. But there were two men who had been in Jerusalem. They are called disciples. You know, we don't believe that both of these men were among the 12 disciples. But there were a larger group of men that followed, men and women that followed Jesus through all the things that Jesus did. And one of the names of these men we know was Cleopas. Perhaps he was the father of Matthew. Matthew's father, Levi, also known as Matthew, his father was named Cleopas. Maybe it was one of the uncles of Jesus. You know, may have been married to Joseph's brother. Okay, could have been Joseph's brother. Married to a woman named Mary, who may even have been a sister to Joseph. There are all kinds of scholars that offer all kinds of ideas as to who this particular Cleopas was. But without regard to knowing exactly who he was and his connection with Jesus, we know he was a disciple. We know that he loved Jesus and he followed Jesus. So Cleopas and one other disciple, on the Sunday morning that Jesus had been resurrected, they were walking to the village of Emmaus. It was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And as they walked along, Jesus came and began walking with them. Now, we talked about this last Wednesday in a message called Hope Deferred. And if you if you would like to catch up, then you can look at our online archives and listen to the message, or you could go to Easy Sermons, sermons.com. And there you can get a copy of the notes, and they will read like a narrative, okay? Last month, more than 15,000 people around the world, most of them not from the United States, went to Easy Sermons to find notes, most of them preachers to preach the notes. You know, that's just been the pattern for all these years. And so these notes, they'll read, they'll catch you up on what we talked about last week. I don't want to spend too much time recapping, but these men had lost hope. They had believed that Jesus was the Messiah, and then he was crucified. Now, just 3 days after he had been crucified, they were walking to Emmaus, and they were basically depressed. They didn't know what to believe. They were confused. And as they walked along, the Bible says they were sad because Jesus joined them and he said, "What is it that you are talking about while you walk along this way being sad?" You know, with a countenance that has fallen. Well, let me start tonight by telling you that one of the things that we don't appreciate as individuals, one of the things that I don't appreciate about being corrected, one of the things that you probably don't appreciate about being corrected, is the acceptance of having been wrong. Because when you're corrected, what that means is you have been wrong. And one of the things that we often don't like about being corrected is the thought that we're going to have to accept. If we accept the correction, we have to accept the fact that we were wrong. Getting past us acknowledging that we were wrong is really hard. It's hard to accept, and it's hard to admit that you're wrong. And many people will not allow correction in their life. They just won't, because they are deathly afraid that they might have to admit, or that someone might see that they were wrong. So they don't want to accept correction. You know, I mean, it can be difficult. A workplace, you know, family relationships, you know. It can just be difficult. The ability to see that you're wrong and say that you're wrong is a gift from God. Did y'all know that? The ability to actually see and to actually accept that you are wrong and to say that you are wrong is a gift from God. That's interesting. I think it is. The ability to repent, that's basically repentance. To see I'm wrong, to accept that I'm wrong, and to do something about it, to turn around. That's a gift. 2 Timothy 2:2, by the way, I don't like to ever tell you something that direct without giving you scripture to stand on, because what I say really doesn't matter that much, okay? What God says really does. So let me tell you, I'm just reading it and repeating it. That's all. It's through the foolishness of reading it and repeating it that men are saved. That's what the Bible says. In 2 Timothy 2:2, verse 25 and 26, the Apostle Paul encouraged Timothy, in humility, correct those who oppose themselves. Why do it in humility? Because they're more likely to accept that they're wrong. You know, we don't like to be corrected because we don't really want to admit we're wrong. So when somebody comes to tell us we're wrong or tells to correct us, Paul said, Timothy, do it with humility. Why? Because you're more apt to actually get through to the person, instead of doing it with a condescending attitude. You know, you're wrong. Be more diplomatic. Be more humble. Be more gracious. With graciousness, with humility, with some understanding how difficult it is for people to be corrected. In humility, correct those who oppose themselves. That's interesting. When somebody's wrong, they're actually opposing themselves. Isn't that interesting? I think that is so interesting. When you look at it from the perspective that when I'm wrong, I am really opposing myself. If God perhaps will grant them repentance. So repentance is a grant from God. It's a gift from God. God gives us the ability to admit, to accept, and to turn around. You know, and some of you, you know, need to be blessed with that gift. Lord, bless them with that gift, Father. Well, how do you get that gift? So that they may acknowledge the truth. Well, acknowledging the truth is a part of repentance. And if we fail to acknowledge the truth, whenever you say to someone, that's not really the Word of God. The Word of God says this, you know, be angry and sin not. You know, you don't really need to hurt that person and be revengeful and vengeful. Well, I'm going to anyway. You know, well, why? Because most of the time they don't, you know, they don't want to repent. They don't want to turn. They don't want to change. They feel a certain way. They don't want to be corrected. They would have to admit that they're wrong in how they feel. And that's hard. The Bible says, you know, so that they may acknowledge the truth and that they may come to their senses. Isn't that interesting? Being corrected helps us come to our senses. Can you all make that connection there? Correction helps us come to our senses and recover ourselves from the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Now, let me lay this out really plainly, okay? Pastorally, graciously, humbly, if I can. When you are wrong, The devil has taken you captive, trying to get you to live wrong, trying to get you to live without the ability to be corrected. If you cannot be corrected, if you think you are never wrong, or if you cannot admit that you are wrong when you are wrong, if you cannot accept it when you are wrong, when you're faced with the truth, and yet you will not acknowledge it, you will not turn, and you will be held captive in the snare of the devil, being taken captive by him to do his will. Boy, isn't that a horrible place to be, to where you refuse to be corrected, refuse to accept that you're ever wrong? Wow. Okay. When we are wrong, we work against the very things that are best for us. Who would ever want to be wrong? And yet, even good and godly and honest and loving and caring disciples of Jesus who walked with him for years were going along this road and completely wrong. They were paying more attention to the circumstances than they were to the Word of God, because Jesus had already told them that the Son of Man is going to go to Jerusalem, he's going to be crucified, and he's going to be raised on the third day. Instead of them being locked up afraid, they should have been out in the streets looking for Jesus. Instead of them thinking he's dead, they should have been, oh, this is the third day. He said he's coming alive. But you see, they had lost all hope, because the circumstances were not as they expected. It didn't happen. Have you ever had something not happen the way you expected, and it robs you of hope, robs you of joy, robs you of trust, robs you of faith, and for the moment you're disappointed, and maybe you're confused, and maybe things seem foggy and unclear? And maybe you're in danger of being put into a box by the devil, into the snare, into the scandalon, into the trap, the trigger, that stick on the box that makes the box fall on the bird, because you've lost hope. Wow. Repentance, as I said, is a gift. It's given by God when we acknowledge the truth, so that we can recover ourselves, we can come to our senses. No doubt, God uses other people in our lives to challenge us. That's the way God works. God works through people. And God is always sending people our way to encourage us. But how many times have we been encouraged by someone to not be afraid, to not worry, don't worry? How many times has somebody said to you, don't worry? You see, that's the Word of God. But we want to, nope. We put up a shield. And we are, you know, we're going to stand on the other side over here because we are going to worry. Why? Because I got something to worry about. Jesus has just been crucified. I got plenty to worry about. Did you forget the part about him saying, I'm coming back alive? Did you forget the part where he said to you, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you? Did you forget the part where he said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth? Did you forget the part? What part are we forgetting? You know, God corrects us when we're, he does everything he can to correct us. In fact, if he doesn't correct you, whoa. If God is not sending people your way to encourage you when you're wrong, I'd be a little concerned. If you have not been corrected, disciplined, chastised, is that, you know, King James Version word, you know. If you have not been, you know, chastised means kind of, a, you know, a little correction there. You know, not going to hurt you. God corrects you with his word. God doesn't correct you with cancer. He doesn't correct you with you know, a broke arm, something like that. That's not God. God corrects you with his word, okay? That's the way he corrects you. He gives you the truth. He shines a light on the truth. trying to help you. What's he trying to help you do? Not worry. Don't be afraid. Trust him. That's his goal. Hebrews 12 verse 8 says, if God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are not, you are illegitimate and you are not really his children at all. That's the New Living Translation. I like the way it said it there, so I use that. But it basically means, that if you are without correction, without discipline, without education, cultivation, correction, command, these are the things of discipline. That's what the word discipline means there. That's what the word chastise means. That's what the word, correction really means. It means that God is trying to educate us, that God is trying to cultivate his kingdom in us and a kingdom-mindedness. He's trying to cultivate a biblical worldview in our lives. He's trying to cultivate faith in our lives. He's educating, he's cultivating, he's correcting, and he is commanding us. He will command you, fear not. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. Okay? And it's a correction many times. Fear not. Neither be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wow. That's kind of a command upon us, These progressive encouragements, if ignored, can lead us into a hole in life. It can even make us, if we continue to ignore correction, it can make us even reprobate. What does that mean? Well, you can read it in Romans chapter 1. It means that all of a sudden, we don't even feel bad about being bad anymore. If you just refuse the correction of the Lord all the time, then finally he'll just say, okay, fine. Be worried. Reprobate is an acceptance of the problem as more real than God, more powerful than God. You can read about that in Romans 1. But, here are some steps to rekindling hope. Number one, we need to be willing to accept the fact that you just might be wrong. Okay? Just put it out there. Okay? If you have no hope, one of the steps to rekindling hope is to realize you might be wrong. You just could be wrong. If you have no hope, if you have no hope that God's going to help you, here's an idea. You might be wrong. And if you're not willing to just consider that you might be wrong, if you're not willing to accept that you just might be wrong, if you're going to continue to believe you're right, then you are headed toward, fulfilling your own prophecy. The Bible says one of the things about Job. I don't want to, this is not the whole doctrine of Job, but one of the things the Bible says about Job said, only those things which I have feared have come upon me. Only those things which I have feared most have come upon me. Wow. Well, you might be seeing it wrong, feeling it wrong, hearing it wrong. You may have drawn the wrong conclusion. Something bigger might be at work. If we have no hope in Christ, listen, we have missed something. If you are without hope tonight that God can do a miracle that you need, that God will help you, then you're missing something. If we have no hope in Christ. Okay. So the first step is just to be willing to accept the fact that we just might be wrong. A second step to rekindling hope is to listen to correction. If you don't listen to correction, you may go without hope, because God is probably correcting you if you don't have any hope. He's probably telling you, stop that. Stop thinking that way. Stop doing that way. Now, how do you do that? Well, he will restore hope, but one of the things we have to do is listen to the correction. Because every time you receive the Word of God, every time you hear the Word of God, every time you let the Word of God in your heart and in your mind, the Bible says it deposits faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Trust. We begin to trust God the more we allow the Word, the more we accept, the more we embrace the truth that God is trying to tell us. And, as I said, number one is to be willing to accept the fact that you just might be wrong. Number two is to listen to the correction. And number three is to repent. What does that mean? That means to turn. It means to change. It means to go the other direction. We've got to, it's more than just saying, well, I might be wrong. It's more than just saying, okay, well, tell me again. It's actually turning. Some of us need 180. You know, some of us just maybe need a 45, some may need a 30, you know, the degree turn, and just start going the other direction. You see, that's what these boys needed that were on the road to Emmaus. They loved Jesus. They were good people. They were godly people, but they were going the wrong direction, believing the wrong thing. They were going that way whenever they should have been going that way. And they were believing he was dead when they should have been believing he was alive. They were good and godly men who loved Jesus and were brokenhearted, but they were going the wrong way, believing the wrong thing. Listen, good and godly disciples of Jesus can be going the wrong way, doing the wrong thing, and what they need, because they had no hope, they needed to be corrected. They needed to realize, I could be wrong. I could be going the wrong way. I could be believing the wrong thing. That's what we have to be willing to put before God. Lord, help me. We have to be willing to listen to the correction. They could have cut Jesus off. They could have stopped him right in the middle of his conversation. They had to be willing to listen to the correction. And then they had to be willing to turn around, which they did at the end of the story, and they started going where they should have gone, believing what they should have believed, because they accepted the thought, I could be wrong. They listened to what Jesus had to say, and they turned around. Those are three simple things that this story tells us in conclusion of how to, rekindle this hope. Let's get down to Luke 24, okay? Luke 24, verse 21. We're picking up in this story. These two men said to Jesus, and please read the whole story. And those of you who were listening and here last week, this is where we went through. They said to Jesus, we were hoping that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. We were hoping. We're not hoping anymore. You know, they were hoping, but the circumstances caused them to lose hope. Circumstances of life. Tragic circumstances. Okay? Great disappointment. I mean, traumatic. Jesus had been beaten and crucified, dead and buried. And they imagine that to be the end of the story. Jesus came to these men for a reason. He came because he needed them to encourage others, because they were a part of his team. But how can you encourage other people when you aren't encouraged? God needs you to be encouraged, because he said a lot of people out here that need to be encouraged, that don't know him, that haven't met him yet, that haven't walked with him like you have. Of all people, Jesus needs you to be encouraged. And so these two good and godly guys, as I said, were going the wrong way with the wrong message. Thankfully, Jesus was with them. When you are going the wrong way with the wrong message, guess what? Jesus is right there with you. Isn't that good? When you're feeling the wrong thing, when you're thinking the wrong thing, when you're going the wrong, he's right there with you. He's going to come alongside here, and he walked right with them. He walked right with them, and he went into the house with them. But look what he said to them, okay? Because they're telling him, we were hoping, but we're not hoping anymore. Don't you know? They crucified him, and it's been 3 days. He's gone. Verse 25, then Jesus said to them, oh, foolish ones. Boy, there's a good correction. That's stupid, Jesus said. That's foolish. Don't be an idiot. Don't be crazy. That's just crazy. You guys are... No. Well, no. The facts they had straight. It had been 3 days. He had been crucified, and they had put him to death, and he had been... Now, we got all of our facts, but you have your conclusion completely wrong. And Jesus starts out with a pretty strong conclusion. Oh, foolish ones. I mean, if Jesus shows up, you know, he shows up to the 12 later, and he says he upbraids them for their hardness of heart and their unwillingness to believe. Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You know, Jesus didn't call them sinners. He just called them foolish. You know, it's not sin to be in a place where circumstances have you in a hole of life. But it is silly to ignore all of the promises of God. It is foolish to think that your last biggest disappointment was the end of the story. It's not. And we don't have to treat it like the end. You know, these guys were wallowing in hope deferred. They were swimming in their disappointments. It's all they saw. It's all they could think about. It's all they could talk about. Jesus understood that, but he wanted them to know, it's gone far enough. I need you to start going a different direction with a different message now, because there's a lot of people that need the message that even though you went through a terrible thing, and even though the trauma and the disappointment, even though it didn't happen like you thought it was going to happen, like you imagined, no doubt like you prayed, no doubt like you hoped, yet I'm still here. And this is not over. I've got a work to do, and I need you to do it.
Thanks again for joining us for another relevant word from Pastor Ron Hemmons. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastor and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.